harvest is a good time for us as followers of Jesus to focus on the world that we believe that God has made. God has provided us with a living planet that gives us food, water, shelter, and so many other resources. And this world not only provides for us, but it also teaches us about who God is. And if we listen, the world will teach us this. Paul says this in his letter to the church in Rome. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, its eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Those of you who know a bit about me know I love the natural world. And when I'm out in the natural world, I feel a deep connection to God. On holiday this year, I went to the Cairngorms. And at the foot of the mountains is the Abernethy Forest, which is one of the largest remnants of ancient Caledonian pine forest in Scotland. It's an amazing habitat, and my poor photo doesn't really do it justice. And these are trees that are hundreds of years old. They're covered in tendrils of lichen, and the lichen grows like that because the air quality there is so pure. There's a deep, rich smell of pine mulch, and there are pine cones like this everywhere, littering the floor. There are birds and red squirrels around in the trees. It's a haunting place. It's also a place where I felt close to God. A place where God's invisible qualities were understood by me. A place where I felt connected to the Creator through His creation. And there are many other experiences that I've had in the natural world that have made me feel I've been drawn to God. The wind going through a reed bed, I find it mesmerizing. The swirl of a murmuration of birds, the crunch of walking through a frosty field, the dappled sunlight through a Cotswold beech wood. The wonder of creation causes me to seek the Creator. Not just to acknowledge Him, but to connect with Him, to know and be known by the one whose hands have flung stars into space. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, which is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus invites us to take a closer look at creation. And this might be a challenge for some of us who spend most of our time indoors or think that we're perhaps too busy to contemplate God's world. But Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. See how the flowers of the field grow. Open your eyes, Jesus says. Open your eyes to the way God's world is speaking to you. What can we learn by paying attention to the world that God has made? Animals, plants, natural processes all around us. What do these tell us about God and His purposes for our lives? Jesus says that if we look at creation, we will see God constantly providing for and caring for it. He is feeding the birds of the air. He is clothing the flowers of the field. God cares about everything He's made, and He is at work allowing life to flourish and develop. Of course, we can explain many of these things in scientific terms. We can see the evolutionary or biological reasons behind some of these processes. But as Christians, we believe that God is ultimately behind all the complexity of His creation. God has put in place all the laws and processes of nature to allow it to flourish and to grow. God provides and sustains our planet, our galaxy, our universe, and each and every detail within it. Jesus goes on to say in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, are you not much more valuable than they? Talking about the flowers and the beauty of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Humanity has a special place in God's heart. We alone were said to be his image bearers, uniquely created to be in a relationship with God. But notice that even though we are in a privileged position, God still cares about every other aspect of his creation. It's not humans or the rest of creation. God cares for both. And therefore, as God's image bearers, we must share his care for the rest of creation. Perhaps it might even be true to say that Christians have overemphasized the uniqueness of humanity before God. And so we've mistreated God's world in ways in which we're acting that don't honor him. The Bible is clear that human sinfulness affects not only our hearts and our relationships, but also the very earth we live on. Paul, writing again to the church in Rome, says, "For creation was subjected to frustration in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God." We know that whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We don't have to look very far to see the evidence of this frustration and groaning. Plastic in our oceans, species driven to extinction, pollution in our air, destruction of habitats, poisoned waterways, the list goes on. Selfish human priorities leading to destructive human living. And Jesus criticizes us when we worry about more about our own hearts, our own needs, instead of God's priorities. He says in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you will need." God knows what we will need. He's calling us to put aside our selfish aspirations. God cares for us and promises to provide. God wants us to take our eyes off our selfish priorities. We're called to be content with what we have, rather than always wanting more at any cost to the world that we live in. We may not think that our individual actions are selfish. Not recycling, leaving the lights on when you're out the room for a long time, using excess water to keep your lawn green. But all these things have knock-on effects in the linked ecosystem that is planet Earth. Your actions will affect others. And it will usually affect the most vulnerable people most severely, however innocuous your actions may seem to you. Jesus, though, invites us to turn from selfish living and instead focus on God's priorities, to seek first God's kingdom and his rule and reign. Sometimes in church we might think God's kingdom is just about churchy, spiritual type things. But when the Bible talks about the coming kingdom of God, it uses a broad, expansive language which includes every aspect of God's creation. And this is seen in our reading from the prophecy of Joel. The prophet is looking forward to the age of the Messiah, when the results of Israel's disobedience will be put right. And that putting right is not merely about restoring humans. It includes the land and all that is in it as well. Joel is speaking to animals, the soil, the trees, the plants. "Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yielding their riches." The whole passage is a promise of an abundant harvest, of nature fulfilling its original potential, of every aspect of God's world restored. And this renewal is reaffirmed at the end of the New Testament. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And of each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. And here in John's revelation, the apocalypse, we have an image of a city full of abundant life, bearing fruit, providing healing for God's creation. And these are the pictures of what Jesus has in mind when he says, seek first God's kingdom. Jesus wants us to reorientate our hearts towards the future, for us to seek to live now as it will be then. God's priorities for his whole creation to be restored, for the selfishness of sin to be removed, for every part of creation to be valued and cared for. Right now, we have choices in how we live in relation to God's creation. And the Creator of all things invites us to join with him in the task of earthkeeping and stewarding the wonders of his creation. As a response to this, there's a prayer that's going to come up on the screen for us to join in with, and it's a prayer of confession. And I'd like you, if you wish, to join in with the words in bold type. Lord, when we have taken your creation for granted, forgive us, gracious Father. When we have abused its resources and polluted its purity, forgive us, gracious Father. When we have not fulfilled our calling to steward your earth, forgive us, gracious Father. May we work with you in the renewal of creation. Empower us, Holy Spirit. May we speak and act for the good of your planet. Inspire us, Jesus Christ. May we value and share the good gifts you provide. Encourage us, Father of creation. Amen. We're going to come now and sing our final song this morning. And it is God the Maker of the Heavens, which goes to a familiar tune. Please stand as you're able.